Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're going to have a program today called Baptist Churches Gone Wild. Now, there was a time, remember, way back, maybe it's still happening in some Baptist churches, but you could go to a Baptist church and you would know that you were going to hear a solid Bible message, and you definitely were going to hear about salvation. So, but today, many of the Baptist churches have adopted Rick Warren's purpose-driven movement. They have held classes on the movement. They're bringing in New Age teachings, and even recently, a friend of mine was asked to leave her Baptist church merely because she wouldn't support some of the things they were doing, and they even threatened to have her arrested if she came back. Now, that does not sound like Christian love, does it? Remember that song we used to sing, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Remember that? Well, I don't know. I don't remember a day. I know I've heard of this before recently where a church would actually threaten to have you arrested if you came back. Now, that's a new one. So, it happened to another friend of mine. In fact, we have a program in the archives that we did, and my friend's name is Bear, and he was actually sitting inside of his church, and the ushers came up, and they asked him to leave. They actually escorted him out the door, and they said, if you do not leave, you will be arrested. So, dear, what next, right? Anyway, I'm waiting for my guest to call in. I hope he didn't forget. Here he is. Oh, good. He's here. Praise the Lord. Hello, Shane.
Hello.
Good. I'm glad you made it.
And thank you.
Yes, thank you for coming on today. We have a great topic. Actually, I tried to download, and I hope I got most of those clips from, is it the Tinneys? Is that how you pronounce their name?
Yes, it's Bill and Chris Tinney Britton.
Okay, Tinney Britton. Okay, Bill and Chris, did you say?
Chris is spelled with a K, K-R-I-S-S.
Okay, Chris Tinney Britton. Now, very unusual, I'm going to have Shane share a little bit of his testimony, I think you'll find it very, very interesting. I never heard of these people before. Actually, I'm looking at their website right now. They have one website called Church Talk TV, and they will actually teach you how to grow your church, how to track your members. Now, this is a new one. Effective membership tracking. They can help you track your members, and you keep track of them. You find out who does what, who's gifted in what, and who loves doing this, and they will teach you how to track your members. They will also teach you small church thinking. The power of positive thinking may be overrated or may not be, but there is no arguing that our attitudes have a huge impact on our lives. The same is true for the church. One of the reasons small churches stay small is that their thinking keeps them small. Small church thinking leads to small church attitudes, and small church attitudes keep churches small. In this episode, Dr. Bill and Chris expose five small church thinkings that every church, no matter how big or small, need to know. Wow. Wow, the power of positive thinking. That doesn't sound like, that sounds like something from Robert Schuller instead
yes,
of a Baptist
does.
Church.
It is.
Now, Shane, how many years have you been in the Baptist Church?
I've probably spent maybe, it's hard for me to say because although I attended Baptist churches, much of the time that I spent there was in a small group Bible study type situation. For whatever reason, I never was drawn to the main service on a regular basis, except maybe for a couple of years out of the 15 or so years I've been a Christian.
Okay, so you've been basically in Baptist church surrounding Bible studies and things, so you're quite familiar with the Baptist church and the way they do things.
That's right. I've been in the Baptist church, and I've been to many churches, not because of any animosity, but just because I wanted to learn, and also spent several years in a house church environment.
Yeah, and so I guess you were quite surprised when they brought in this couple. Could you give me a little background of what you know about the Tinney Britons and how you became familiar with them?
Okay, I could give you a little background about how this developed, because initially, really, I'm not a person who tries to really research these types of things. What happened was I was attending a Baptist church, and the preacher came out and said that we're going to, we have hired consultants, a consulting company that is called 21st Century Strategies.
Wow.
And he said, the pastor said, we will be having a three-day meeting so that you guys can learn about the direction that we're moving in, so to speak. And so that was really the first that I'd heard from them about Bill Tinney Britton. So I really wanted to hear what he had to say, because this was an opportunity to hear a paid consultant. And so I was really careful to take notes. I was pretty anxious to just see what they would say as far as where we should head as a congregation. And so that's kind of how it started off. And really, there were, when I showed up at the first meeting, there were some things that happened that made me very concerned. And that's what started all of this, the website and the research.
Now give the people your website, if you wouldn't mind.
It's called onetrue.org.
Okay, one, and it's the number one.
That's right.
Okay, the number onetrue.org. Okay.
Right, and that website contains video clips of some of the teachings from this consulting environment, if you will. It consists of a number of teachers, I believe. But what happened was Bill Tenney showed up in person at our church on a Sunday evening, and he began to do a seminar. And one of the first things that happened in the seminar is that he played some music that really was pretty out there for a Baptist church. And the and that's what struck me right away. But the music was associated with a video that showed statistics of things that are going on in the world today. Namely, the impact of social media in the world, and really the what happened was after we saw this meeting this video that showed these statistics, and some of the statistics were that one that jumps out at me, 3 to 5 gay couples found each other through social media. it goes on, and then.
Oh, really?
Right.
Like, why would we care?
And, well, you're right. That sticks out at me just because it's just kind of crazy to be doing in a consultation for a church director.
Yeah.
Anyway, it really
sounds like a subliminal suggestion.
I'm not sure why that was in there, but the statistics really just go to show, you know, how powerful social media was, and the point was that this is something that we need to deal with, and it also showed statistics about how America is falling behind in their educational systems and their economic systems and so forth. So it was kind of a scary video, almost, if you will, to bring our to kind of, it somewhat instilled a slight bit of fear in me to see these statistics, but I'm not a fearful person, but just to see it was brought about a sense of need, if you will, that something needed to change. And I think maybe that was part of the shock factor of the video. But the video was carefully designed.
It sounds like it was carefully designed for that purpose.
Right. I believe that it was now. And also after the meeting was over and some other things that were said that I'll go into a little bit later, but I was led to search that video out, or that music out, to see where it came from, because it kept doing a chant that would say right here, right now, right here, right now, and it kept doing that over and over again.
Oh.
And I couldn't get it out of my head.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that it's very hard to get out of your head once it gets
that's,
in.
Yeah, it's awful when that happens, I know.
Right, right. And so what I found out was it actually is from a secular musician, and the song, I believe, is called Right Here, Right Now. But the real video to that song is an Evolution video.
Oh.
And, right, it's an Evolution video, and the Evolution starts out. It's a very nicely done video that I imagine costed a lot of money, but But it ends with an American sitting down on a bench that shows him slim at first, and then the artist gives him a hot dog, which represents basically cheap food, and he sits down on a bench, and he's fat, and he finally just kind of passes out, and he's wearing a shirt that says, "Why try harder? I have number one." So that was kind of disturbing to me to see that video, the real video to the music. And
Carefully crafted.
Yes, it seemed like it was carefully crafted to almost, it felt like that he was in casting a spell in some ways, because so the video showed, and then there were some things that were said, the video and the music. And one of the things that he said in two different meetings, he said that without any context whatsoever, he said Peter received the keys to the kingdom of heaven from Jesus before he was baptized. And he said that the word of God says that Peter received the keys to the kingdom of heaven before he was baptized. And so I couldn't figure out why he said that. And he said, like I said, he said it two different times, just completely, like, almost as though he were shooting it into the crowd. And the second time that I heard it, I must go back a little bit. This was really a time when the Lord was working on my heart, and I was reading a lot of scripture, and something was going on in me. But the second time he said that, what I heard was that we are taking over. In other words, we have the keys. We're receiving the keys, and we're not going to be clean. In other words, that in my spirit, it was just really weird. I'm sitting out there, and I hear kind of in my mind that this is what he's saying. In other words, we're going to receive the authority, but we're not going to be clean, as in baptized.
Oh.
So that was playing in my head over and over again after he said that. So I looked it up in the Word of God, and the Word of God clearly shows that Peter and the disciples were baptizing others before Jesus offered him the keys to the kingdom. So here we have a consultant that is misquoting scripture, but not only that, he's throwing it out there completely out. You have to understand, this didn't fit in any part of the presentation. He just spoke it into the crowd in between one point and another point. So, you know, it was really weird the way that he did it, and, you know, I wrote it down as he spoke it because, like I said, I was taking notes, and because I really wanted to hear what he said.
Yeah.
So anyway, that happened, and I researched that and found out that it was false, what he was saying, and then I really felt like the Lord was on me to continue to kind of research what was going on here. So. But another thing he said was that we shouldn't vote as Christians, because in the Bible there's only two times when the church voted, and both times it ended up badly. And he quoted that the scripture where the Pharisees voted to crucify Jesus, and also when Paul set out for Rome. He set out on a ship to sail for Rome. The people on the ship voted that they should sail into stormy weather, and then the boat was wrecked. But both of those times, of course, I knew in my heart that something wasn't right at this point, and I realized that really the Pharisees that voted to crucify Jesus were not the true church. The true Christian church, obviously.
Yeah.
And
obviously,
also the guys that were on that boat that voted to set sail with Paul, the Apostle Paul, on it for Rome when the boat was destroyed. They didn't claim to be Christians either. So So here was another example when he was speaking something as a paid consultant who is going to lead the church in our directional process. He's not speaking the truth, and that really concerned me. So from that point, I started to really research Bill Tenney and his organization to find out just what was going on here. And so I went to my pastor and explained all of this to him, some of the things that I had found and that I was concerned. And he really just brushed it off. Well, first of all, I tried to talk to Bill Tenney. I sat down with him at a table, and he was very awkward. He really didn't want to talk to me, and this was a casual setting.
That's why
I had some questions about some of the things that he had said, and he just kind of brushed me off. And so that concerned me as well. So I tried to go to him first.
Yeah.
To get an answer, as the Word of God would lead us to do, go to the person first.
Right.
And I tried to do that. So then I went to the pastor and I asked him about it, and he didn't seem to think that any of this was any big deal, and that I was overreacting.
Oh.
And he really didn't. He didn't see any problem with any of this. So anyway, then, you know, I was questioning myself somewhat, and I prayed, and I really believe as a Christian matures that they're given the responsibility to act on things like this, and it's a wonderful responsibility, really, that brings about joy. When we follow through with what the Lord has for us to do,
yeah,
and so, but nevertheless, I was somewhat apprehensive. So really, it was just at that point, it was just me and the Lord, and I'm I thought to myself, well, surely I'm free because I've done my duty and I've gone to leadership. And, you know, there's not going to be any blood on my hands now, and so to speak. But it wouldn't go away. And the Lord just really came upon me and said, you're not done with this. So really, I didn't know what direction to go in. And it really felt like I was being led through this process because I didn't know what to do. And I went on YouTube and I saw there were some videos and I went on his site and I saw some more videos and I started to watch those videos and I saw some things in there that weren't right. But I was concerned that, well, what will I do with this? And then I saw on his site there was a place where you could buy a $100 license to download as many videos as you want and share them with others.
So I
purchased that license and downloaded the videos, and I put those clips on my website.
Oh, so that's where you got the clips, yeah.
That's
and we're
where
going
I got,
to play some of those clips in a few minutes. I couldn't believe some of the things they were saying. I thought especially the accepted behaviors comment. Expected behaviors? What is that all about? very disturbing. I found it very disturbing.
Well, it is. And what was more disturbing is, as I saw these videos, I realized that the leadership of my congregation, they were following these videos exactly, just like the videos were laid out. And so that really concerned me. After I saw the videos to see what's behind the scenes. And our church was in the process of having meetings to to discuss what the expected behaviors would be.
Oh, really?
At the church.
Oh,
right. Sure. Right.
Wow.
Right after this consultation, there was a meeting to set that was set up to discuss what the expected behaviors would be.
Oh, no.
For our church. And after I saw the video, I realized that the expected behaviors were really a collection of scriptures that were, they were scriptures that wouldn't conflict with, say, humanism. It was basically love one another, praise Jesus Christ, you know, care for one another, be considerate with one another, be kind. It was basically the one another scriptures.
Yeah.
And really what I found out was that, that in the end that those scriptures would be used against people who wanted to present scripture that was outside of those expected behaviors.
Yes.
And that really, because it wasn't presented like that, it was presented as though these are the minimum expected behaviors for our church. But really, after looking at the Bill Tinney videos, I realized that these, in fact, would be used as the maximum expected behaviors, according to his vision of what the system was being put in place for.
It sounds like a dictatorship. Expected behaviors. Whoever went to church, and then when you went to church, they told you these are the expected behaviors. And
well,
I never heard
right.
of such. It's ridiculous. I never heard of such a thing in my whole. I couldn't even believe it when they were on the video clip when they were talking about expected behavior. So in other words, there's a person in the church, and you go to church, and then you're given a list of how you should behave, and then there's one person in charge, and of course they also say don't question anything.
Well, that's
and,
right.
On one of the video clips.
That's
you're not
right.
supposed to question the authority of the pastor, so to speak. Even if he's teaching the wrong thing, you're not supposed to say anything.
Well, that's really how it goes. And you see, it really, the video clips go to show that really that anyone who would vote against this would really look like a fool because
that's what
really
they said.
All,
you look like a jerk was the term that they used, and
jerk,
we'll play
right.
the clip. Yeah, that if you oppose these expected behaviors in a meeting, they bring you to a meeting. I think is what they were saying, and they were laying
that's
out
right.
the expected behaviors. And then of course, no one wants to look like a jerk. That's what they said. No one wants to look like a jerk, so no one's going to oppose in public. The expected behaviors. Oh.
Well, that's right, and the videos go on to show that, that the way that this is laid out, that really it is the it's the ones that are in charge of the church. Really, these expected behaviors are already approved before they're
right.
put out to the congregation.
Right.
And what happens is that there's a list already made up of maybe 30. Or 40 scriptures, and we're really voting on those, and there's an emphasis within the meeting to gravitate people towards even narrowing it down even further between that selection of 40, and really they call it congregational buy-in, and really the teaching
congregational
is,
buy-in,
right? Congregational buy-in, and really what
oh.
happens is that. The
help
Baptist
us, Lord,
doctrine.
Help!
You're not supposed to be able to
buy-in.
That's what they call it. You're right.
I have never heard
they,
that. I have never heard that.
Well, that's what they call it, and that's what they don't speak that though in the meetings. They don't say that we're going for congregational buy-ins here. This is a voting process and. And it is, and basically what happens is with the expected behaviors, if there's ever any opposition to those behaviors, what happens is that they go back and say, well, the congregation voted this in, therefore it's not going to change. And what we're seeking here is unity with diversity.
That's another New Age term, unity. Whoever goes to church and hears this term, unity with diversity. I never heard such a term being taught in church.
Well, that's what it is. That's really the backdrop to this, is that they what happens is that, and there's another video that I have that I'm not sure that's on the website, but the model is Disney World, and what they are teaching.
Yeah, what is that about?
Well, that's about that we are trained in the hospitality of Disney World.
Yeah, I see it on their website. Yeah, so I was actually just looking at that. I was curious about that. So explain that. Yeah.
Well, the way that works is they have actually in the video, and I'll add this to the next website. We may need to do another one of these things, but and probably do, because I have a lot more information now.
There needs to be more. Yeah.
But what happens is that they have, they're doing a sort of an interview on this video, and they have a man who is basically been trained in the art of management of Disney, and he's lifting up this management strategy as something that would be beneficial to the church. In other words, everything is intentional with the Disney World employees. They're all trained to be hospitable, and even in saying things like "Welcome home," and it really is just training and being friendly and outgoing and nice.
Home.
Well, that's what it is, and that's really what's behind the scenes with all of this, is that trying to turn
brainwashing.
Church. Well, it is, and basically what it is you're trying to separate the saints from doctrine and scripture.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you're telling them that we need to act like we're happy about it.
Yeah.
So, that's really what the way it works.
Nice little robots, just do what we say. Don't think, please. Leave your thinking outside. When you come in here, don't think. We think for you. And if you oppose our thinking, then you can just leave. You're a jerk. That's what they're telling you.
Right.
You're a jerk, and you can leave.
Well, that's really what it is, and it it really is just it's trying to reconcile the saints to the world system.
Yeah.
And that's really what the bottom line is, and there's a lot more to this. As I got into it, I realized that it really goes a lot deeper than just this particular event. But I'll go ahead and go back to what happened for a minute. I actually gave those video clips. I actually made it a video that's about 30 minutes long.
Oh, did you?
That contains those clips. And
okay.
Some other information as well. And
yeah.
And what happened was that I put that on a thumb drive.
Okay.
And after I talked to my pastor, the Lord was really just putting on my heart, you're not done with this. So when we were in those meetings and I saw that the meetings were really just a duplicate of what, you know, was in those videos, that really concerned me. And so I brought this thumb drive to the last meeting, and with the intent of giving it to my pastor so that he could see it.
Yeah.
And so I that's what I did. I gave him the thumb drive, and I really just let him know that the Lord was really speaking to me in that meeting, and he really just said, just put it on me that you need to let your your pastor knows it's very serious.
Right.
That's what I did. I went up to him and I let him know. I said, and realize that this isn't a huge church. He knows who I am. He knows me. And
how many years did he know you, your pastor?
He's known me for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And he's
known
my brother.
Yeah, so he really knows you. He knows you.
I've worked at his house. I've done work at his house. I've gone out to lunch with him on many occasions, and he's the nicest guy
you're
that you want to meet.
You're a friend.
He's nice to everyone. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very friendly. So I came up to him and I let him know the video on the thumb drive is very serious because it directly affects what we're doing here. You really need to look at this right away because it's very important. So I gave it to him, and there were a lot of other people. This is kind of after the meeting, and he's talking to some other guys, and I walked away, and then it's like I was stopped, and the Lord said to me again, and he said, you need to let the pastor know this is very serious. And so I turned around and went back. And I got his attention. And I told him, I said, it's just not possible for me to stress to you how important it is for you to see this video on this thumb drive. It affects everything that we're doing here. And it was really just a powerful moment. And so I gave it to him, and weeks went by with no response. And in the meantime, as this was going on, I showed the video to a few other people that go to the church, and they were stunned to see it. But then also, I also got a copy of the 21st Century Strategy Report for our church. And one of the things that struck me about that was the leadership portion of it that said leaders only, leadership only. I'm not sure how I got that, but it says step one. It says step one.
Yeah, I guess the Lord wanted you to have.
I guess so. I'm not sure. It was the last two pages of 166 pages.
Wow.
But right. And
well, that's
so,
a lot of information. You really did your homework.
It's a lot of information.
Yeah.
And most of that is just straightforward. It's basically laying out the church as a corporation, if you will.
Yeah.
You have one leader, the pastor. There's four under him, four under each of them, and so forth. And basically, it lays out a system of questioning in Bible studies. These are the questions that you'll ask in a Bible study. And some of the questions were, what has the Lord spoke to you this week? What have you gotten out of Scripture? And you know, the questions seem good before you realize what really is going on here, and that is that basically, if you work this thing in reverse, it's a reporting system. Anyone that goes that, you know, right? I mean, it monitors what's going on everywhere at all times.
Wow.
And,
oh,
yeah,
so then that's that whole thing with their you're tracking your membership.
Well, right. It really is. It's a process for tracking. I mean, it could be used for that. And now that I've seen the rest of what I would have never thought, that idea would have never came into my head except for all these other things that were going on. I started to look at things more critically than I normally would. But one of the things, step one, it says, as soon as possible after this consultation, have either the most respected leader of the church, a leader who was present at the seminar, have them share in worship, in the worship service for 3 to 5 minutes, his or her excitement about the seminar. without including any details.
Oh, my. Oh, unbelievable.
I just can't believe that someone would put that in writing.
What I can't believe is that, how old is your pastor?
He is, I guess he's been there for maybe 24 years.
Okay, yeah, so he's a seasoned pastor. He's a seasoned minister of the gospel. He's not just a novice.
Not only is he seasoned, but he's well-known and well-respected in this area. He knows everybody that's in a position of authority in the city of Independence.
Yeah, so then why did he leave his brain at the door?
Well, I think from his perspective, and I've been meeting with him for months now every Friday morning to try to learn more about what's going on. And I think part of the reason that he's meeting with me is because of the gravity of the situation. I made it clear. Eventually we did talk because I approached his second in command, so to speak, and texted him with the information for the website. And basically, he called the pastor and said, you know, what the heck's going on here? and so as soon as I made that text, it was a matter of hours between the time I sent the other guy the text and when the pastor called me back and said, we need to have a meeting.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. But I think one reason that he's been meeting with me now is because of our meeting, and some of the things that happened in that meeting were that basically he was trying to get me to what he told me was that they're trying to make disciples for Christ, and that I definitely interfered with that. That I've interfered with that, and also that what I've done is going to have serious ramifications on my spiritual walk, and also that Bill Tenney is my Christian brother, and wrong for me to attack him in this manner. To put him out there like that, so to speak.
He put himself out there. You didn't. You're only quoting what he said.
Well, that's right. I that's what I said. He said that you've said some pretty bold things about Bill Tenney, and I said, well, you know, really, I didn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
It's his own words.
He said it himself.
That I'm concerned with.
I know. I've been accused of that too. Wow, how could you say that? I didn't say it. They said it. I've got the audio right here.
That's right. So the first meeting.
Wow.
Really, and I really struggled with this because one reason that I struggled is that, you know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be accusing, and still don't really want to be accusing people necessarily. It's really more about false doctrine and false teaching.
Right.
And I really would pray for Bill Tenney and for my pastor. And it's not about tearing them down. It's just, but when you hear and see things, I really believe that. It's our duty, so to speak, to...
Of course. We're directed by Scripture to expose a heretic, the Bible says, after the first and second admonition, reject. So we are to reject heresy.
But they can be saved, too. I mean, if they've been held captive to do the devil's will, so to speak, it's not about, you know, I'm not judging them, but there's certain things that, certain directions and certain things that we need to call out and say, this isn't of God, clearly.
Right.
And that's really what this was about. But during our discussion, he didn't know that I had the website at the time, and I explained to him that I did, and he was very concerned about that, and I made it clear that this is very serious, and also that if I wanted to, everyone in this congregation could have the address of this website, whether I'm here or not. So
right.
I was very firm that while I'm not doing this, I'm not letting everyone have this because it's not my intention to try to create a big upheaval, so to speak.
Right.
But that's really not what it's about. What it's about is that something needs to be done.
Sure.
Because this just isn't right.
No, and the thing is, of course, older people that have been in the Word for a long time and older Christians, they're not so easily deceived. But then when you get new believers, and this is what they're being fed, that's a whole nother issue. Because they're not strong in the Lord yet. And then for them to have to come into a congregation and hear these New Age teachings, because clearly they sound like New Age teachings. They even mention Harry Potter having some kind of a Harry Potter display in the church. Oh, my goodness. Why do we need 10 commandments? Why do we need commandments? And we only need 5 commandments. We're going to play these clips a little later on in the show so you can hear it for yourself. But I found it very disturbing. I can't believe that it's actually – now, is this the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, I did some research on the church that I attend, and it is actually part of they call it the Blue River, let's see what it's called here. It's actually part of Blue River Association, which is made up of about 135 Baptist churches in this area.
Okay.
And they have actually, this association has actually, they've approved Bill Tenney, and the man who runs the association,
I see.
He knows Bill Tenney. So that's what I found out later, and I talked to another leader in the church who is a friend of mine, and he called this man who's the head over the association to talk to him and gave him the website address. And now he won't return calls. So, to understand that the friend of mine who called him has served within this association, and these guys know each other well, and for him not to call him back is kind of a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal. I don't understand why they won't sit down with people and discuss it. Before you came on the program, I was telling some people, I had a friend that was attending a small Baptist church, and she was opposed to something that happened in the church. And so then they decided they were going to disfellowship her, as far as they were going to take away her church membership. So they did that, but anyway, she went back. She didn't leave the church. She just decided she'd go whether she was a member or not. And so then she had posted something on Facebook which was misconstrued, and then they sent her a certified letter and told her if she came back on the property, they were going to have her arrested. Now, the pastor never went to her house to sit down and talk to her about it, or the elders, or no, they sent her a letter saying she'd be arrested if she came back.
Well, yeah, I understand that, and we're at the church where I go, there's a police officer there on duty the whole time, and that's why I just, when I talked to my pastor, it was a friendly conversation, but there was a lot of stress there, obviously, and
yeah.
I let him know that it wouldn't be a good idea for him to send me a letter like that. Or, I'm not just a guy that attends there. I volunteer there and work with children on a regular basis. And,
yeah, you love the people.
And give, and yes, yeah. I do. And it's not it's not like I'm some guy that's coming in and just pointing
right,
the finger and saying,
to,
you know.
Yeah, dissension,
just,
yeah.
just
that's
a fault
right.
finder, really. You know, I was just shocked because I was really trying
sure.
to learn, and these things came up, and
yeah.
and I just reconcile what I was hearing with the Word of God.
And oh, yeah.
Just together.
I know.
And,
it's tough. I've experienced that myself, where a good friend of mine started a church, and they invited me to come and join the church, but I knew that because of my views, I didn't agree with some of the teachers they'd follow. I would just be a thorn in their flesh. So there was no sense in me even going over there. But this is a situation where you've known these people for many years. You've been a Christian for many years yourself. So the Bible says that we're supposed to discuss things. So yes, they should be discussing it with you. And then, of course, going to the Lord in prayer, because they could be wrong.
right. They could be wrong. And really, part of what brought this on, I think, is just the tendency for leadership to want to do away with any controversy. And I can
yeah.
see it from that side. I can really see it from that side with these expected behaviors. You have the authority. You have the authority to put anyone out. That even if they're bringing scripture,
exactly.
Gives you that bedrock to say we're not hearing that here. And if you want to pursue that, then there's other churches that you can go to. And really, they had just been through a few pretty big breakups of the congregation.
Oh.
And I think, you know, part of it really was to try to get together a group that could stay together based on these types of principles, but. The Word of God says that, you know, the first and greatest commandment, part of that is that we would worship the Lord with all of our mind. Okay.
Right.
And so we're not supposed to add or take away from the Word of God. And
right.
and there is a healthy coming together where we study the Word of God, and the Word itself says that that's the way that the Lord chose to give us new birth, is through a cleansing, so to speak, through the Word of God. And to take that away and say, well, now we're just going to concentrate on five precepts, so to speak, you know, because the rest of it's causing trouble.
Yeah.
That's just not... That's not the Lord's church. That's just, really,
never
we
heard
can come together
like this.
As believers.
This was a new one. Now, I've heard a lot of things going on lately, but this was a new one. I have to say, because I never, until I was introduced to you, and I had, but I never knew anything about this. And it kind of goes along, though, with the whole thing about the end times, the great falling away, the deception. We're seeing it happen right before our eyes. So.
Well, we are. We're we're seeing this really come together, and as I did research, I realized that there were some other things going on in this. The youth pastor attends a seminary that on their homepage they are lifting up the Common Word document. It basically is a document that brings forth the idea that we have things in common with the Muslim people. And
oh yeah, that sounds like that Rick Warren, the Chrislam.
Well, that's what it is, and so you have that coming from the other side. And really, if you read the doctrine, and I'll be doing some more research on that, but
okay.
I've read the document, and it basically these people use word crafters to put things in a certain
way.
Yeah,
they do. They
it's hard to understand what it's really saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, what it says is that we're going to come together in the name of, you know, love your neighbor and love God. That's
yeah.
what we have in common. But
yeah.
in the small, it basically says that, you know, if you don't believe what we believe, that we're going to attack you. So,
yeah. yeah, exactly. Well,
and you have all these guys signing this thing, pastors and so forth. They're basically, you know, once you sign that document, for all intents and purposes, you're a Muslim at that point. So it's not good.
No, it's not good. It's truly we are in the end times because the deception is so prevalent. And I've been saved 32 years. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen the outright deception and the backing away from the truth of Scripture and bringing all these other things in and calling it a church service and actually having a scripted church service that was scripted by someone else that isn't the pastor. Like you were saying about them having this little conversation for 3 to 5 minutes about how great the seminar was, and then telling people how they should behave and having a vote, but yet the vote doesn't mean anything because it was all decided before the people even had a chance to vote. And then if anyone questions anything, then you're marked. You're a troublemaker. And so then they put you out of the congregation. So I think we're just going to see more and more of these things. But thank God that God does have a people. And the real people of God will search the Scriptures. And even if it means being put out or if you have to leave it all behind, then you have to do it. Because what the most important thing is God's word, the truth of God's word, and the Lord Jesus Christ and His teachings. So I'm. This was a first for me, and I think this is an important program because there's so many millions of people that are involved in the Baptist Church.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And it's not just the Baptist Church. It's a spiritual. I just really want to make it clear that we're in a war.
Yeah,
you know, really,
right.
When you look at the way things are going, it's not going in a good direction. And
no.
One of the things, and I don't want to lift up. Homosexuality as being the only sin out there because it's not, but it's something that gives us an idea of the way things are headed. And one of the things that the Lord led me to was to look at my state, Missouri, the fact that it was that we had laws on the books in 2006 that made that illegal. And now in 2013, our president is chastising Russia for their laws pertaining to homosexuality. So, the reason I'm bringing that up is it's kind of an indicator to just show how quickly, in a period of just maybe 6 or 7 years there, that the United States is changing. It's changing very rapidly right now. Very rapidly, things are changing, and the Word of God tells us not to fall asleep, to be sober, and to be on. Jesus is not, some of these pastors, they put their arm around you and speak to you softly and pat you on the back and try to make you believe that, you know, everything's okay. And we're just going to be friendly to each other and we'll all be fine. But I don't think, you know, as I'm seeing some of the things that are going on, I'm not so sure about that because...
No. Well, it's the whole ecumenical movement we just love one another. Everybody loves everybody, and you just all fall into the pit. So the blind leading the blind.
You all fall into the pit because there's no call to purity.
No.
And that's one of the main things, really, idolatry. And the idolatry that runs rampant through Hollywood and so forth. You have to understand that everyone's teaching basically, and we're called. The Lord in His Word says to come out of them, and that His purpose is to purify for Himself a people who are zealous for good works. That word purify is significant there. That we're not to have fellowship with unbelievers for what did Christ and Belial, who is a word that means devil basically, what do they have in common? Well, the point is they don't. And you look at 1 John 1, and before it talks about loving your brother and so forth, that the Apostle John says that, you know, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. It also says that, but if we walk in the darkness, that we lie and don't claim
That's
to have fellowship
right.
with Him, who is Jesus Christ. Then we're deceiving ourselves, and that's very
true.
Important because many teachers want to overlook the intro to that book there, and focus on loving one and being kind to one another, and so which is a part of Christianity.
Sure.
But it's not the main doctrine. All of those things, being kind and giving, and are within the confines of the church. And the church, the word church is ecclesia, and that particular word means called out. So
yes.
You're to be called out. We're being called out of the world system.
Right.
But what's taught now is that we're all going to be befriend one another and embrace the world system,
yeah.
Not going to be pure.
No, we don't want to be different. No, don't be different. Well, the Bible
don't
says
be different
we're...
And
yeah, we are different.
Everything goes. I mean, that's a humanist doctrine,
yeah.
Which is, everything's okay as long as you don't hurt anyone.
Yeah.
Okay, and Aleister Crowley, you know, the Satanist, or at least he said he was, he claimed that, you know, that the law, you know, do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law, which is, you know, basically it's in the 60s it was renamed kind of like, you know, do what you want, man, you know, kind of thing. You know, I mean, it's just kind of you know, as long as we're all, you know, hugging each other, anything goes.
And peace,
love, you know, but that's not, that's not, I mean,
you know,
although.
Well, we found out that was nowhere. Well, there was no peace and love in that mess, that's for sure.
Right. Well, that's the world's perspective of
that's
peace and love.
That's the world's perspective, right.
That's not Christianity's perspective of what true peace and love, the true peace and love of God is to obey His commandments. And,
that's
really, and He promises us protection and safety in that. And that's a wonderful thing to feel that, okay, well, to be comforted in that situation, especially the world now is a scary place. And I just
it is a scary place, yeah. It is
I'm concerned that people are being deceived and
well, they are being deceived. They really are. We can turn on what they call Christian television, and you can see the great deception right before your eyes. Most of the preaching and the teaching has to do with money. They're not even really talking. Once in a while, you might hear a little gospel message, or somebody could get saved by watching some of these programs. Yeah, they actually could, but for the most part, it's like a dog and pony show.
Well, it is, and a lot of what's preached is what appeals to the flesh.
Right.
That is the prosperity gospel. It's speaking of money and riches and that type of thing. You know, Jesus said that we have to be born again, and the Word of God tells us that the natural man cannot accept the things of God.
That's right.
So you know, when you're preaching things that the natural man says, "Hey, I want that stuff," I mean, that's not really, you know, that's not a call to a call on the Lord and
repentance. Well,
and repentance.
They go right back and appeal to the carnal nature,
you
go right back to living in the flesh.
Right.
I mean,
if Jesus is going to hook me up, you know, why not? I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not speaking against wealth. You know, we can have that too. But first and foremost, obviously, is that we would turn to the Lord with an attitude of wanting to learn about Him and His ways.
Of course.
And coming out of the world system.
And coming out of the world system. Because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And
right.
We don't want to do the things we know before we were born again. We lived in the world and we did the things the way the world told us to do it. And there was no peace in that. There was no joy in that. There was no happiness in that. And when we were born again and the scales fell off our eyes and we became new creatures and old things passed away, so we don't want to go back. No, we're not looking back.
We're not wanting to do that.
That's right.
One of the things that, and this might be another show, but one of the things that really, that's really been pressing on me personally lately is that the system that's in place right now, system of churches, if you will, many of these churches are 501c3s and they're corporations, and really a corporation really has no freedom of speech rights, if you will.
Yeah.
And really, when you think about it, I just believe that many of us are being lulled into a sense of false security, in that what you see now is really generations of children now that have been brought up in schools that teach them an educational system that's hostile towards God.
Of course.
They're being taught. they're being taught evolution. They're being taught that, you know, sex outside of marriage and homosexuality, those things are, you know, an acceptable lifestyle.
Yeah, at a young age. But then again, of course,
at a young age, right. And,
yeah,
and
it's your parents' responsibility to educate their children, I think, until they can have a reason, they can start reasoning for themselves. But if the schools get them at 3 years old, and it's really hard, the schools have them longer than the parents have them in a day.
Well, that's right.
So it's harder
and
then
really,
to re-indoctrinate them into your way of thinking, because they're going to think, especially when they grow up to be teenagers, they start thinking you're a fool and you don't really know what you're talking about if they've already spent 5 or 10 years in a public school system. So it's a little bit harder.
Well, it's very hard. And when you think about that we are really, like I said, like the Lord said, the first and greatest commandment is to, you know, seek Him with all your mind. It's part of that commandment. And then you have an educational system that is hostile to the Lord. And then you have a religious system that is subservient to the state and to the government at its very foundations. That is in these this paperwork where they submit to the state in order to become a corporation or a 501c3. They, at their very foundations, have conceded that we will do nothing to influence legislation. I mean, that is a crime to do that. Really, you face losing your tax exempt status, so to speak. And the church has already had that status without signing up for that. So, you know, that's a sad thing about it. And so you look at it and think, well, maybe there's something more to this, and you know, and I see the people around me and the senior citizens, and that, you know, don't have anything to do and they're lonely, and people that have no purpose, and really, you know, we should probably really be educating our own children.
Until they
the
can
church,
reason anyway. Because
and the church should really, you know, should really be wanting our children with all the money that has been available to them for them to just sign over our children to the government. Really seems appalling to me right now.
It's a whole other issue, and
it
does need to be discussed. But I think I downloaded about 11 of these clips. And what I'm going to do,
okay,
they're short clips. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play about 3 of them at a time, and then you can discuss it. One is the Virgin clip, one is about unity, and one is about their statues. They said they have an altar. The Tinney Britton said they have an altar in their house where they have icons and statues. So I'm going to play 3 of these clips, and then I'll bring Shane back to talk about them.
Okay.
We have you might call it altar space or a worship space set aside that it reminds us who we are, whose we are, and who our home belongs to, and are, you know, really just great for seeing in front of. And I'm loving because the one down in our quiet space in our library, our grandson, Ethan the Wonder Grandbaby, who's 6, regularly comes in and moves the little icons and statues around. So I know he's in there kind of interacting with all of that. Okay, so do you want to add to that?
Okay, no, let's move on.
Because
once you help people begin to do, if you will, personal worship at home, and more, because what we're offering here is more of a ritualized or liturgical worship, but then you have to help them move from their formal into a less formal setting.
Okay, I'll play the other one.
From that prayerful, spiritual agreement kind of place, but get it moving and don't let it prolong and just stretch out.
That's right. And once you have them and once they've been approved, then it comes to a place where you embed them in your congregation and you begin to implement their use for determining direction of the congregation, or if you will, saying, no, we're not going that direction. And again, just as a reminder, the way that works is someone comes up and says, hey, we think, or I think, that it ought to be thus and such because the Bible says thus and so, and the response is, you know, I understand that, that's important, or interesting as the case may be, but, you know, this congregation has said that these are our beliefs, and that these are the bullet points, and that anything beyond that really is a place for where we're looking for unity within diversity, and we don't take a stand on that.
The virgin birth has been this huge deal for several people, and I'll get questions from laity about virgin birth and what our seminaries are or are teaching. And, you know, there's a lot of pieces that go along with that, and I always wonder, is this something that's important to the congregation or important to these people? And over again, people, leadership will say to me, oh, that's just so-and-so. Now, we've got other episodes about that's just so-and-so, but it really does come down to those kingdom issues. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard my husband say to parishioners, is that a kingdom issue? Yeah.
So there you have it.
Yeah. Well, I found it very interesting, the little comment about the statues and the icons that they have on their own personal altar. I don't know. I never heard of a Baptist that had statues in their house, but would you like to comment on those three clips I played?
Okay. We could start off with the clip about the statues then. That, of course, they didn't speak that in the in the meeting at the church.
Yeah.
This is a separate. A lot of these things, well, all of them are really just kind of show what's going on behind the scenes. And with the statues, really what you see there is I think, putting more emphasis, he said, on a liturgical type of worship.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. A more ritualized type of worship, and I will just quote a few scriptures. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeks such to worship Him. That's John 4:23, and that goes on to say, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And really, that's the focus of our worship, is seeking the truth and seeking to live the truth, not moving some statues around and putting emphasis on some representation of God who really has no. I mean, those statues don't have any precepts or commandments, if you will. They're silent, and some of us would, not Christians, but some of those in the world would prefer that God would be like those statues that don't ever speak.
Yeah, right.
So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Let's
see, also
okay,
the other clip about the unity and diversity, and then about the virgin birth.
Okay, so we have unity and diversity. That what you heard there was kind of an outline of what would be done with these expected behaviors, and. Basically, he gave an example of someone who comes in and says that we should do this or that because the Bible says so, And he goes on to say, well, you know, as interesting as that may be, we have decided that we are looking for unity within diversity, and we don't take a stand on these items that you're bringing forth that happen to be part of the Word of God. Right. So that's basically. But again, that's not brought to the congregation as part of what they're voting on.
That was part of the $100 entry into these.
Videos. This is the backdrop, if you will, the backdrop for leadership to follow. The congregation, they really don't they don't see this part of it. So.
No.
I could quote just a few verses. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Yeah.
So that the man of God may be perfect.
Yeah.
And so that he may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a definition of good works there. The good works are really determined by a doctrine and of course prayer and we don't do anything except for through Jesus Christ. I mean, the ability to be able to understand his word. And he doesn't put more on us than we can bear. And sometimes it's good that I believe that we don't understand all of it at once, because it would be
that's
too much.
True.
and that's a good thing. So
yes, it is.
But
yeah, we see,
and I think
see
that,
through a glass darkly.
Right, and that's good for us that we don't see the whole thing at once, because we would be crushed.
Yeah, we couldn't take it.
We couldn't take all of it at once, but,
no,
but that's
why we're not God.
Right. That doesn't mean that we should throw it out, though, because we can't. It means that we come together unity based on the Word of God.
Right, on the Word of God,
Within the believers, and we reason together,
we reason together.
We're not going to beat each other over the head. We understand that. We're about unity, but the diversity part, I'm not putting too much emphasis on that part of it, because his definition of diversity is a lot more diverse than my definition.
A lot more diverse than mine, too, especially with the statues and the icons. What about the virgin birth now, that quote?
Right. That's part of the expected behaviors, and I think, I mean, it's part of what they're trying to avoid as being part of the expected behaviors, and the virgin birth is very significant for our faith. Because the Old Testament prophets, they foretold the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and many of the things that were spoken in the Old Testament, including the virgin birth, and not only that, but the other things that Jesus did, many of those were foretold in the Old Testament. So the reason that it's important is because it brings us to the reality that the Word of God came from God, and there's something outside of ourselves. I mean, that really stomps on humanism, and I think that that's part of one reason for a humanist type person or someone that's been trained in that to want to kind of take that out, because it really leaves the door open for us to just kind of look at maybe the Bible as just like another book and not necessarily divinely inspired, in that
the
virgin birth, you know, is miraculous. And, and to take those things out, the miraculous part of the Word of God, is just to put the Bible on the same level as maybe anything else that comes about. And we know that that's not true. So
amen. I'm going to play a few more clips here. I've got the Harry Potter clip, and then something about the older people in the congregation, and then No Friends. So let me play these three clips.
Harry Potter, to encourage reading, actually. It had nothing to do with the movie, to encourage reading and whatnot. And so we did a Harry Potter haunted house, and it wasn't a scary house. It was made for younger folks, but it was, you know, a walk through. We had this sort of maze inside our fellowship hall and educational. We did, before Harry Potter was in the movies, he was, of course, in books. Some of you actually remember that. And we had a youth leader who said, let's do a Harry Potter to encourage reading, actually. Bedrock beliefs, we're going to talk about a process for that in a few moments. But let me just say that the older the congregation, and I'm talking about these people who are older in age, the older the congregation or the people in the congregation, the more difficult it's going to be to pull this off, because very often traditions and beliefs have become very near and dear, and some things that might be non-essential when they were in their 20s and 30s and 40s have become core parts of their personal belief system, and that they will feel or may feel slighted if you don't put that in, even though it's not necessarily a shared belief across the congregation. Delete your Facebook account, or, if you will, I know it's not very nice, but unfriend everybody who's a part of that church that you left, which is why we recommend having a celebrity account, which you can find out more about at churchtalk.tv, and during the Social Media 101 for Churches episode. When you leave...
Very interesting. Would you comment on first the Harry Potter clip?
Okay. This was really a clip that came from a video that had to do with celebrating Halloween at the church. And the reason that it stated in the video that they brought this up is statistically... Americans spend a lot of money on Halloween, and it's something that is celebrated by most Americans, and therefore it would be something to bring into the church, and so. That's where the Harry Potter part of it comes from. And they go on to say that we had a Harry Potter exhibit, if you will, within the education wing of the church.
Unbelievable.
And,
Unbelievable.
And that this would be something that we might consider doing across the board. And that... there's a few, I'll read a few scriptures concerning that, just to kind of give us, again, Matthew 22:37 says that the great first and greatest commandment is, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and this is an important part, with all your mind. I mean, it's all important, but I mean, in light of what we're looking at right here, focusing on Harry Potter is not focusing on the Lord, and, and I realize that. I realize
obviously that, since it's about witchcraft.
Well,
I don't think so. Oh dear, bringing a Harry Potter exhibit into the church. So it encourages people to read. What about God's word? Like, wouldn't
what about God's word? Well,
yeah,
wouldn't that encourage
people to read? Ridiculous.
Well, I mean, out in the world, isn't there enough Harry Potters? And
yeah,
that,
isn't there's there
enough.
Yeah.
There's enough. Do we really, you know, the church, as I said, the word church means to be called out.
Yeah.
And to say, you know, that we need to bring that in. The church is really supposed to be the light of the world in a city on a hill.
Yeah.
That's not something that that we, although all of us, you know, I must say, you know, stray at times, and we understand that, but do we want to bring that into the facility that is, you know, responsible for being the light of the world?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think so. That's
no,
not a good idea.
No. Now, what about the old people? They're talking there about changing the belief systems and of the people.
Well, right. He said that what he said in that clip was that this is going to be hard to pull off with the older members of the congregation because some of them have become set in their beliefs. Even though these beliefs may not be shared throughout the congregation, that it was going to be difficult to pull off this expected behavior type system with them because they're going to want to put more of what they believe in there. And, you know, that's called sanctification. I mean, it just obviously... when you're young, you're not as well trained or informed, or
right.
You obviously your belief system is going to grow, and you're going to learn more about the Lord as you go, and that's just that's the way it is. So to say that the older people in the congregation are going to have problems with this. That's not exactly lifting this system up in something that's godly. It just, you know, we're told in the Word of God that we should rise up before the aged and honor the face of the elderly.
That's right.
And really. There's reasons for that.
there is definite reasons. I found that out myself, that the older you get, really the more wisdom you get. Now, the last clip that I played, I had here No Friends. I don't know if you can remember that one.
Okay. Yeah, yes, this is a clip that that instructs leadership how to lead.
Yeah. Right. Oh, the call got dropped. Anyway, I'll wait for my guest to call back in. While I'm waiting for him to call back in, I know he was talking about the last clip we played, and he was instructing, the Tinny Britons were instructing, I guess, pastors or leaders, that after they leave a congregation, they should not be friends with anyone. If they were friends with these people on Facebook, they should drop them and not have anything else to do with them. But let me play a few more clips while I'm waiting for Shane to call back in.
Leave. Completely leave. Delete your Facebook account, or... will. I know it's not very nice, but unfriend everybody who's a part of that church that you left, which is why we recommend having a celebrity account, which you can find out more about at churchtalk.tv and during the Social Media 101 for Churches episode. Ultimately, when you boil them all down and you put them into a covenantal language, when you bring to the congregation for adoption, which is that's the goal. The goal is to create this covenant of conduct that is the leaders go, yeah, this is what we want, how we expect people to act. And you take it to the congregation, and the congregation needs to vote on it because they need to adopt it. And here's the key. Who's going to vote against it? I've yet to ever have a congregation have talk to me and say, listen, we had people vote against it. Now, that doesn't mean it can't happen.
It does happen because
okay.
I just heard about that from one
okay.
of our churches.
But in general, you know, I mean, you look like a jerk if
right.
you vote against this covenant because the covenants include things like we will respect one another and speak to each other with love and listen and so on and we'll honor each other and yada yada. And so, you know, you end up with this really nice statements.
Right.
And then, you know, and you really, you look like a jerk if you vote against them. And so the bottom line is, most of the time, they sail right through.
And the people of Israel, and within a generation there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rules on the book. Well, today we have hundreds and probably thousands of rules on our different books and whatnot, and we're trying to get it back down to maybe even five.
Right.
Right?
You're looking for a small number, and we'll talk a little more about it in a moment.
No, the truth is that...
What they were saying in that the last clip is that there was too many commandments in the Old Testament, and even the Ten Commandments are too many. So they want to get it back down to five. They want five commandments for people, and now that's ridiculous, isn't it? Anyway, let me bring my guest back on. Hi, Shane. We got disconnected.
We did, and I tried to call back a few times, but I kept getting a message, all circuits are busy, so I was hoping that you...
Yeah, well, you're back.
So
I'm just going to play this last clip about the witch, and then we'll go over... I don't know if you heard the others that I played, but I played the clip about the Five Commandments, and
okay.
then I played... the other one about the expected behaviors, and then I'm going to play this last one about the witch.
Okay.
Out of her way to let me know that she was wicked. I said, yes, I noticed your pentagram. I really hope you'll come back. She said, as long as you know I'm wicked and da-la-la, and I said, you are more than welcome as long as you realize that we, that here, we believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. We accept him as our Lord and Savior. While there may be other gods, as you say, the God that we worship here is the Almighty God. And, they, you know, there it was. And, yeah, she kept coming back for a long time.
Okay, so I found that clip interesting about the five commandments.
Okay. That really is a clip that it outlines the structure of the expected behaviors, and that we would like to basically. Well, it starts off saying that God had 10 commandments, and within a short matter of time, there were hundreds of commands, it says, on the books, and we would like to get those down to five.
Yeah.
So,
what do they expect to do, tear the pages out of the Bible? I guess they're planning to write a new Bible.
Well, that's a lot of authority there. I'm not so sure.
they're a relatively young couple. They don't. I don't think they're more than 50.
Right.
They're not an old couple. This couple, the Tinney Britons. But does he have another website besides that TV? Website
they have a lot of websites. So,
oh, okay.
Right, and they've written books, and we could we could go into this further with some of the other websites, maybe in a different show. But
okay,
these commandments are expected behaviors. We've kind of given a little bit of an outline of what those look like. So
okay,
it's basically, well, let me see. I can actually probably click on, let me see if I can find that here, because
okay,
I actually have the what was adopted by Maywood, so I can tell
all
you
right
exactly what they ended up being.
Okay.
Let's see here. Best to serve. Okay, well, I'll look for that while we're going on to the next clip. What was the next clip about?
The next clip was about the witch.
The witch, okay. Well, the way that works is that they're giving a testimony of a Wiccan person who came into their congregation, who was wearing a rather large pentagram as a necklace, and they at some point approached her, and she explained that she's not a Christian, she's in fact a Wiccan, and they said that's fine as long as you understand that we serve the one true God here. Maybe other gods, as you say, the one true God is Jesus Christ, and we serve him. And she goes on to say, and she came here for a long time.
Yeah.
And so that, while everyone is welcome at the church, I think that we cross the line when we have people who come in who want to actually teach or represent their belief systems within the church, because that's not the venue for that. We come there to hear about the Lord and his teachings and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what we're there for. Now anyone's welcome, that's true, but I believe that the Word of God tells us that we're not supposed to put up with false teachings. And,
well, especially someone wearing their pentagram. Well, that's a little odd. Also, there was and I thought I had downloaded it, but I don't have it. I thought the language was a little disturbing when she talked about massaging something into people, and she repeated it several times. I don't know if you remember that clip.
Right, I remember that clip. That clip was about the expected behaviors that we talked about before, that these really the expected behaviors are pretty much decided before the voting process. But
yeah.
But what happens is that the leadership is instructed to really massages, if you will, to put
that
emphasis
was her
on
word.
Certain.
Yeah.
Right. That was her wording to massage this into the congregation, so to speak.
Yeah.
I never heard anything
put like that before in a
right.
sermon.
She said it several times that's the way to do it. So
yeah, and you can hear these clips at One True One, and that's the number one true.org. I did download
mm-hmm.
them. I noticed the sound wasn't the greatest, but anyway, they'll be here on this in the archives if you want to go and re-listen, or you can go to Shane's website, onetrue.org, and he has them listed there. So we have about 15 minutes left. I don't know, is there any other topic or point that you wanted to get across today?
Well, I could. Here's the expected behaviors that are actually
implemented. Okay. Yeah. Right.
So that's interesting. Here it is: with the Bible as our guide, and with a desire to live Christ-like lives, we commit to treat one another in the following manner. We will love one another the same way Jesus loves us. In humility, we will value others above ourselves, not looking out for our own interests, but for the interests of others. We will actively listen and truthfully encourage one another, building a solid foundation of trust and mutual support. We will pray daily and align with God's purposes with one another for our community. We will take responsibility for our own personal spiritual growth, and we'll hold one another accountable in a safe, non-judgmental way. We'll be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as we have experienced forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So those things sound really good, and they are. I mean, that's part of Christianity. There's no doubt about that. But that's not all there is to Christianity. And that's really the issue.
Yeah. I didn't hear anything in there about, and we will stand for the truth of God's word no matter what. And it was more or less about loving one another regardless of what your beliefs are.
That's right. That's right. So, so that's
because
it.
Those that
okay.
have gone before us, if we look throughout history, and we see there were so many martyrs for the faith. Of course, the most important ones were the 11 apostles that were murdered for their teachings and beliefs about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the Inquisition saints, the Reformation saints that were murdered for publishing Bibles, for professing faith through grace. And those have gone before us. And so we, today, now in this modern century, it's kind of overlooked where we don't have to suffer any kind of tribulation in this world. Although Jesus promises that. That's part of his promises, is that in this world you will have tribulation. But it kind of doesn't fit in with this whole 20th century Christianity, even the way the Tinney Britons were teaching the power of positive thinking. And so we have to always remember history. I think it's important to remember those that have gone before us and what price they paid for the truth of Scripture. And so that's one of the reasons why we do this program. And we're just coming up now upon our four-year anniversary of broadcasting. And we want to stand on the authority of God's Word, and we put God's Word first here above anything else. And that's where we bring people like Shane and the many other wonderful Christians that have been a part of this program. We bring them on to help you to stay strong in the Lord, to stay in God's Word, and to always stand on God's Word no matter what. Even if you lose every friend you have, you will not lose the best friend you have, one who sticks closer than a brother, our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's a promise. So is there anything else, Shane, in closing? Of course, we want to pray for people that don't know the Lord.
Right. I think that really just the message that let's be alert and serve the Lord, and be careful of the wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, right.
because there's really a great deception out there, and the Word of God, if the Lord warned us about it, and if there was going to be such a great deception that even the very elect would be fooled,
yeah.
if that were possible,
yeah.
if that's really the situation, then we really do need to stick together and talk about these things,
yes.
So that we don't get deceived.
That's true. We learn from one another, because these are things that I never knew about until I was introduced to you. And I've had many guests on like that to bring things to my attention that I didn't know about. And so it's great to know, because there may come a day when I need to talk to somebody about this, somebody that's been involved just like you in these type of seminars or these type of teachers. So that we can be warned, like you said, of the wolves in sheep's clothing. But we just want to take this last few minutes now to pray for people out there. And Shane, if you would, people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Dear Lord, I pray that your word will go forth, and that we would seek you. First of all, in our hearts, and anyone that's listening right now that wants to come to you, that they could pray and ask you for forgiveness of their sins, and that they could be restored unto a good relationship with God, into eternal life. And Lord, thank you for opening our eyes, and thank you for protecting us, and thank you for all the promises that you give us in your word. And I would just pray for a zeal among your people to put more time into your word, and to find those promises and be secure in those promises and receive the life that you've given us, and that many would be restored in your word and in your purpose, and that we would just be patiently waiting on your arrival. I thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Shane, for coming on today. And don't forget to look at the items that Shane has on his website, onetrue.org. And so we'll have you back again to talk about another interesting topic. But I want to thank you so much, Shane, for coming on today and being my guest.
Okay.
God bless you richly, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today. And most importantly, you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a real way and know of his saving grace, of his salvation. In the book of John, John 3, Jesus said himself, now he said it, ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. We all hunger in our hearts to know God. God has put eternity in men's hearts. And some people spend all their lives trying to find the truth, but Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And no man comes to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent of your sins, because we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. Ask God to forgive you of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ came to earth. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again on the third day, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits on the right hand of the Father. making intercession for you. And he's coming again. He is coming again. Jesus Christ is alive. He is a real person. And he's coming back again. Hallelujah. No, the devil will not destroy this world. He will not do it. Jesus Christ is victorious, and he does love you today. When all else fails, remember, Jesus Christ loves you. And you can have a home in heaven. When you die, you'll know where you're going. I know where I'm going when I die. I'm going to heaven to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's a promise. So thank you for tuning in today, and God bless you all. Come back again next week.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.